Did everybody get the file I sent around?
PDF.
This is how I'm going to be tracking our progress over time. So at some point I'm going to teach you how to do this, but I'll do it at the beginning. So everybody's sending me their ratings, and this is how it looks in SPSS, just in case you have an interest in that. So if you look up here, anybody have like a spare tissue or paper towel or thanks. We're so poor as a university, we can't even afford the erasers. So, can everybody see that fairly well? So, obviously, these are, some people did the first 28, some people didn't. That's okay. I wasn't that concerned about that. So, everybody has ratings starting at 29. And these X's, I filtered out the first 28 so that I can run the correlations without the first 28 interfering. So, it's as if the SPSS is looking only at these cases starting from 29. Anybody has an interest in knowing how to filter out cases, I can share that with you at a different time. But it goes to 56. And as you can see, there's a lot of variability in what people consider to be codable content. So I'm wrestling with the idea about whether to make some kind of rule about uncodable content. We'll talk about that, but I just wanted to show people what the spreadsheet looks like. And, you know, it varies a lot. DC, everybody know who DC is? Mm-hmm. Deb Chu. She erred on the side of, which is what I said last week, she erred on the side of, if I'm not sure, I'm going to rate it anyway. So she did that, and then I think probably Melissa erred more on the side of not coding. Yeah, so I respect Melissa's point of view also, though, because she's a veteran of a coding team in which we already coded RF and she got reliable. So I respect her opinion about that, about her ratings. Let's look at the printout then that I created. So what I first did was I filtered out the first 28 word blocks. And so we're looking at only the second set of word blocks from 29 to, what is it, 56. So here's the correlation matrix. Everybody correlated with everybody else. And if you look, I put, who's DJ? Do you know who DJ is? Over here, Deb Jackcomb. I put her as first just because I thought she's the gold standard. She's the one who's certified by Howard Steele. And who wins the golden ticket today? Can people tell who had the highest? Deb was actually significantly correlated with the other Deb. The two Debs were on the way to Sigma. That's not a great correlation, but I think for a start, that's pretty darn good. And then we have the various other correlations here with Deb. But if you wanted to check any person's correlation with anybody else, it's on this matrix. So if we want to look at Melissa with Michelle, what?
No, I was looking at it.
Is that right? So we have,
let's say, Michelle Fanciullo with Melissa Schroeder.
you guys were correlated 0.138. So if you want to find out who you're correlated with, here's a negative correlation. That's interesting. So Michelle F and Deb C were negatively correlated with each other, slightly. But that means that your ratings were almost random in relation to each other. There's no relationship whatsoever between you two. Now, in real life, there might be a relationship. Not up here, there isn't. So this is the kind of thing that I want to bring in every week for you guys to look at and explore. So that's the first half of this printout. And then the second half of the printout, those are the remainder of the correlations. The printout couldn't fit every one on one in one box, so there are two boxes. Anyway, if you scroll down, you'll see everybody's responses. So to word block 29, Dev Jatko assigned a rating of 3, Kimmy a rating of 4, Deb Chu a rating of 5, and Michelle a rating of 5. And we're missing Aaron and... Yeah, so right there. Aaron... 6 and Melissa 5. So the ratings vary from 6 to 3. So Deb, actually the gold standard was actually the low person, and Aaron was the high person. So a rating of 3 points difference is really, wow, that's a lot. What we want to do, and I actually emailed Chris and Giacomo to find out a few things, and they both emailed me back right away. Chris said that we discussed discrepancies greater than 1.
Yeah, exactly.
So a discrepancy of 3 is a big one. It's a whopper. So if one person scores a 4 and the other scores a 5, I'm okay with that.
But that's a battle.
Huh? Oh yeah, we had. I loved those too. They're great. They provide a lot of excitement. People are thrilled with that. But you know, I think it sharpens people and it makes them want to come in and be passionate about their ratings. Like they spend a lot of time thinking about it, and this is what they think, and they're gonna fight for their rating. So I want people to have that attitude about it, but. I just wanted to show you guys the printout so that you can get a sense, a flavor of what we're looking for. So ultimately, when we're trained, what I should be seeing here is, let's say Deb is correct, it's a 3. I'm not saying that she's correct, but she is the gold standard. So 3, so everybody who has 3s and 4s or 2s would be within the range. But the person with the 4 and the person with the 2, if they were paired up as partners, that wouldn't be good because there's a discrepancy of 2 between them. So we have 3s, 4s. The 5s then would be discrepant with Deb, as well as the 6, obviously. So we'd have to sit down then and talk about word block 29 and why Deb saw it as a 3 and Kimmy saw it as a 4, but everybody else saw it as a 5 or a 6. We'd have to talk about that. I'm just trying to give you the structure of how we're going to proceed in these coding team meetings. Okay? So that is that. But as you can see, there are a lot of instances where people thought something was coded and another person didn't. So for example, just sticking with Aaron and Melissa, they both thought that word block 37 should not be coded. However, word block 38, Aaron believed it should be coded, and Melissa felt it shouldn't be coded. That's problematic for obvious reasons. So I wanted to read to you a couple of things that I found from our old coding team that I... I got out of the vault. So let me read you two things. One is from none other than Miriam Steele. Did you meet her?
No.
Okay. Miriam is Howard Steele's husband, or wife. And they both are co-authors of the Reflective Function Coding Manual. As you can see, Peter Fonagy, Mary Tarjay, Howard Steele, and Miriam Steele. Miriam is the Miriam Steele of the coding manual. So I was in contact with her because I'm friends with her, and this was back in June of 2011, which is when we coded Chris Keller and Giacomo Buscagno's data. And I said, I'm working on another project with two dissertation students in which we are adapting the RF manual to code Sid Blatt's ORI responses. I just wanted to run by you a description that my coding team and I had some trouble with. You might remember this, I don't know. Here was the description. Let's see what people would do with this. Let's say a patient is describing her mom in a therapy session to a therapist. And this is in the transcript, and it's part of a word block. Really nice, quiet, calm, pretty cool, listens to what you say. Let me read it again. Really nice, quiet, calm, pretty cool, listens to what you say. Now think about the four categories of RF we've been emphasizing. Does any of those words or combinations of words grab you?
Listens to what you have to say.
Okay, what about that?
I would think that would fit into the self-serving category of RF. I mean, not yeah, RF.
Let me go on and so be thinking about that. Okay, so Melissa says one. So I continued. The team was sharply divided on how this short sentence would be coded for RF. I'm curious how you would code it. I know it's nothing like having an entire AA transcript for a data source, but we're trying it out. Any thoughts you have would be greatly appreciated. Thanks a lot. So that's what I wrote. And so then I got a response from her. Anybody care to venture a guess? Melissa has her money on one. What's that?
I think not. There's no RF. I like color.
So you say can't be rated. Okay. So we have a one. We have can't be rated. So you say one.
If it's a kid.
Well, it would be an adult. We code it adults. So what would you?
Yes.
A one. We have two ones, and it can't be rated.
Okay. Think it's a one.
You what?
I also think it's
you think it's a one also. Mm-hmm. So three ones, and it can't be rated. I think you're the only one left.
No, one.
A one?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
going to
be like a five.
So everybody gave their opinion? Mm-hmm. So five ones, and it can't be rated? So you're out there on the limb, right? Okay. As for your RF question, a tough call for us as the system really is most worked up for coding of AI responses. I know that. So when I talked to Howard, your Howard, here was his response. Quote, as the phrase makes no reference to mental states, it cannot be coded. So everybody, we should see how we read with Kimmy. it is merely descriptive of the possibility of a relationship informed by RF. Okay. Niceness, calm, cool, listening. Sounds like someone being supportive, but the terms are not mental state terms. One would need further information to score this. All right. So It is merely descriptive of the possibility of a relationship informed by RF. It's not the same as mental state. Now, what would be a mental state term? Anybody want to go back in your memory banks and pull that out?
Understanding.
So that's one way, like social causality, right? So like this happened because, typically because somebody was feeling a certain way. It has to be some kind of feeling or intentional term, a desire, a belief, a fear, a wish, a feeling, something like that. Something that has some kind of subjectivity. The person's subjectivity has to be captured in the word. That's a mental state word. So actually, nice, quiet, calm, cool, listens, there's no mental state term among those words, according to the founders of the manual. All right? So Kimmy takes the prize for that one. And I wonder whether that would knock down some of your ratings or whether it would even make some of your ratings cannot rate if you were to do them again. Ones that you rated that might not be, maybe shouldn't have been rated. The other piece of information I wanted to, that's the only email message I actually included in my folder from 2011 when we did this. The other stuff I have in here are actually printouts from the previous coding team. This little sheet is an appendix of an article by Carlson and Kerman, 2006, in which they also coded therapy sessions for reflective functioning, although they're doing it in a slightly different way. They published their findings in Psychotherapy Research, and there are four modifications, and I just want to read one of them to you, because I think the other ones are pretty self-evident. But it's number three. Transcripts in which patients did not present narratives on self-other interactions received an RF rating of 1, which is another way of saying, do we want to rate every word block with a rating? Whether it's codable or not. If you think it's not codable, it gets a standard rating of 1. And that would eliminate this differences that we're finding. Some people rating some word blocks, some people not.
I feel like it would bring narrative on that.
I agree.
It could.
It definitely could.
I mean, in this case, you might also be punishing the subject if, say, the word block was the clinician talking for most of the time about something, seems to be them over.
Well, you know, actually, Deb and I talked about this quite extensively before we convened this coding team, and we checked with a couple of, or one expert anyway, Larry Josephs, and you checked with Mergenthaler, right? And they both said that actually when you do this kind of ratings of therapy sessions, that the precedent is to rate everything, including the therapist's words. I was surprised to find that out myself.
I think their mindset is that it's so brief that
in this case, I have the impression that we were not coding.
Oh, really? So you, what did you do when the word block included therapist words? You just ignored them?
I ignored the therapist words. That's why they probably didn't have as many people. I know it definitely would have been higher.
Maybe we didn't make that clear. We're rating everything in the word block, including therapist words. I think it's kind of counterintuitive myself.
Well, the only reason we're doing that is because CRF does that.
But also Larry, remember when I emailed him? He also did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is weird.
I think to you know, they probably broke up these transcripts in an automated kind of way, and into the 150 word blocks. And if you wanted to break up just the patient's words, it would take a lot more work, I'm guessing. So it's easier just to break up the entire transcript into 150 word blocks, and then just rate whatever you got in the word block. I think that's the thinking. The alternative would be to have Tina and Jessica, you know, block only the patient verbiage and put that in a clean piece of paper, or you guys just ignore the patient comments. But then, let's say ignore the therapist comments, but let's say the therapist makes a 50-word statement interpretation. So in that word block, then you're coding only 100 words. You're not coding 150 words.
I think it's good to be consistent.
You mean across labs?
I mean, I get that it doesn't make sense, but I think they've done it this way. But especially if we're going to
publish.
I think it'd be harder to compare CRF
Well, you're automatically stacking the deck against reliability.
Right.
Another question that came up for me was, what if the therapist presents an opportunity for reflective functioning and the patient does not? Would that be considered a denial?
Yeah, that would be similar to like a demand versus permit question on the AAI. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so the demand question on the AAI is more every demand question needed an ORF because they require it to reflect
their training. So can you think of a particular, I have one in mind, a question that would really just screams RF to answer.
How has your relationship with your parents changed over time? And then like the questions are similar to those responses that you gave. Like, give me five adjectives to describe your mother. You can't really be that effective with five adjectives. So you definitely weigh the demand questions more than the
permit questions. So what you're suggesting is like a demand question or a demand statement on the part of a therapist, which requires some kind of RF functioning, reflective functioning, RF on the part of the patient. And if they don't follow up with an RF, it should be worse for them.
Yeah.
They should be penalized for that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's what you're saying.
I thought so too. Like when I'm reading the transcript,
so what I'm hearing from people is that you want to continue to try to get the cannot rate correct among ourselves, right? And we should rate therapist words as well as patient words. Okay.
We could see if it's really not.
Yeah, the problem is that when one person rates a word block and the other person decides not to rate it, you know, your reliability obviously is going to take a hit.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the other option is like a practical
check to see. No, I think that's one of the centerpieces of your study. And what's going to make it really publishable.
Yeah.
All right, so given that, then we really have to talk about why people thought certain were blocks were codable and others thought they weren't. So we can go down word block by word block. I'd like to get down what's codable first before we really talk about splitting hairs about ratings. So if we look at these ratings here, and unfortunately we're not looking at Aaron's and Melissa's at the same time, but we get the first four here. We see that for word block 29, everybody coded it. Word block 30, everybody coded it. Word block 31, everyone coded it. Word block 32, everybody coded. Word block 33, Kimmy did not code, but everybody else did. Is that true also for
yes.
Aaron? And okay. So let's look at word block.
Aaron didn't code
31. Excuse me? You didn't code 31. Okay, so let's start with 31. Now, if I'm remembering correctly, word block 31 ends with the 31. Is that right? Okay. So really, it begins on page 13, near the bottom, with the word thing. Am I correct? Okay. So thing that crossed my mind was little brother. And like, you know, this fits almost too well with my position in my own family, does it? Like the cigarette. Very theatrical. Well, the people in my family think my mother and my sisters, my older sisters, and sort of that that this you know, relationship with my family is sort of the thing that I'm that either fits or that I'm projecting onto girls I meet here at school. So this is what you said before, I think, was that you're thinking of them in terms of being your sisters or, yeah, exactly, your mother or something like that. It would seem to me the important other side of the issue is that you are saying, in effect, you look on yourself as a little boy.
I think I didn't come because I was also kind of not having the therapist, so
right.
That's where I got the meat of it. So
okay.
Looking back at it, I could
agree with that. Because that's easily so. Resolved. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's like a never mind. All right, so 33. Deb's voice is fried, so I'm going to read this. Think the pattern, the reason for the pattern becomes clear if you really do think of yourself as being a kid rather than being a man. Yeah, well, there are a lot of things that in my mind which support this, you know, like my physical appearance, my size, things like that. What's with your physical appearance? Okay, you know, I feel I look like I'm about 4 years younger than I really am. Well, how old do you think you look? 17 or 16. Uh-huh. Have people said that to you? Yeah, you know, I guess that's why I feel I have to impress people, you know, when I talk to them. You know, I have to prove to them I'm really older than I look. I always, you know...
Thanks. You're pretty good.
Thanks. It's a table read. So, Kimmy, you did not rate this. Whereas other people did. Anybody want to support their view of why they coded it? Or on the obverse side, Kimmy, why you didn't code it?
I just thought that there was no evidence of mental state or other things that could have been underlying behavior.
Okay. How about, I guess that's why I have to impress people. I feel I have to impress people.
Because I thought it wasn't explicit, maybe my understanding of it is wrong. I just thought that you didn't say that. There was no feeling that was expressed, I thought.
I feel?
Feel what?
I have to impress people.
I thought it was supposed to be like a sort of a feeling where
I hear what you're saying.
I went with that same thought that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And the way I thought of it was that it was the impact of my perceived on behavior and how you're perceived by other people.
That's why I would go. Good. You take very copious notes. I didn't print out your ratings, but I know you have lots of.
Yeah.
You want to read what you wrote for that word block?
Sure. Mm-hmm. I'll open it up.
Since you're most highly correlated with Deb Jackson. You know, in the end, I hope that we're all the same person. That would make life a lot easier.
Yeah, that's what I chose to. I guess that's why I feel like I can impress people when I talk to them to prove that I'm really cool. So that was intentionality. Yeah. I guess I thought it was different from you. It was actually 4.26, which is taking into account how others perceive.
No, that's what I meant.
Oh, is that
what you
meant?
Yeah, it's
4.2
is the underlying
behavior,
4.26 is the
perception. Oh, okay. Exactly. Kimmy, does that make sense? I know that there's no actual feeling word like I feel happy or I feel sad or I feel anxious. But I think what the person is writing about, I think it's a she actually. I think she's saying that this is what she has to do to give the people an appearance of being older than she really is. And so the particular type of RF is what Deb just read. It's you said 4.2.6. And that's taking into account how others perceive oneself. It's on page 22. Speakers show explicit awareness, it's on page 17 actually. Speakers show explicit awareness of how others' perception of them is related to their own or others' actions and reactions. For example, people always saw me as somewhat haughty and full of pretensions, but really I just felt very insecure. I realize now that it put people's backs up. You hear how that sounds very... Now, it is true that this person actually uses the word haughty, which is a feeling. But let's say they didn't include the word haughty, and they just said full of pretensions.
I thought it was written that way because it said, but really I just felt very insecure. I was thinking of the latter part of that statement.
But that one also got a 6 or 7.
Yeah, that's a high, that's a very, very high score. It didn't require that last part, the feeling of insecure, to get the 6 or 7. It would have got a lower score, possibly, without that last phrase, but it still would have been codable. All right? So my opinion is I would have coded that. All right. So, and then word block 34... Deb Japco and Kimmy did not rate. What did you guys rated it to? Mm-hmm. So, Kimmy, you and Deb were in the same boat on that. Let's look at 34. Wow. Okay. This is 34. Okay. Feel like I have to trick them, you know, already. Feel like I have to trick them into believing that I'm older. So already I'm thinking to myself, that's definitely codable. Mm-hmm. All right. And I have to be clever enough or intelligent enough or whatever, to prove to them that I'm, you know, 20, not 16 or 17, that I'm a young adult rather than a little kid. Yeah, but you haven't really demonstrated it to yourself, it seems to me. No, yeah, but that's why I think I feel I have to trick someone. Because, you know, I don't really believe it myself. I don't really believe it myself. That's definite RF. You know, my question would be why you don't. Now you've mentioned your appearance, so how many other people are there that look like you? Yeah. Obviously, that argument doesn't cut any ice with you. These are Germans, so they have different, you know, different cliches. Cut any ice. I don't think we say that here, but I'm sure you've thought about it. I feel like so. I think the RF here is at the beginning. I feel like I have to trick them, you know, into believing that I'm older, and then later on. That's why I feel I feel I have to trick someone because, you know, I don't really believe it myself. It's a very reflective statement. Now, what kind of a rating we would assign, I don't want to discuss that right at this juncture. I just want us to get on the same page about what's codable and what's not codable. If we're going to accept a cannot rate rating, or an NA or whatever, don't write NA in your spreadsheets, but if we're going to accept that as a legitimate response to a word block, I want us to see that the same way. Getting a sense of what RF is, I think, is going to be really important toward that goal. So, okay, everybody got that one? So then there were a series here that Deb J did not rate that other people did. Now, among the Melissa and Aaron contingent, what did you guys do with word blocks 35, 36, 37?
37, we both didn't, but the other ones we did.
Okay, so 35 and 36, let's take a look. I'm going to read them together. You know, I have yet to prove myself, you know, to prove that I'm a full-fledged human being. Well, what task have you set for yourself in that area? Well, you know, I can't think of anything specifically, but just generally I feel that I have to have accomplishments. You know, I think that I'm, you know, written in ink almost, certified, you know, that I'm really, really there. I mean, like every time that I get into a situation, you know, where people are talking or something like that, then I start feeling out of it. When I get into a situation where people are talking, I start feeling out of it. That's a very clear indication of RF. When people do this, that makes me feel why. Okay? Do people get that?
Yeah.
I feel I have to somehow work in the fact that I've impressed teachers with my papers, or that I was the vice president of a fraternity or something like that. Well, tell me this if you're concerned. Okay, so that's word block 35, and I think that's really codable.
Yeah.
Then we go to the next one, word block 36. About looking young, why don't you make efforts to look older if that's really a concern? Well, you know, in a way, I do, but what do you do? Well, you know, just with trying to the feeling that I'm supposed to prove myself, like in a conversation or in a relationship. Well, we're talking physical appearance. Oh, physical, to start with. Well, sort of a contradiction in me there, because it's like I think I feel that I have to rely on my personality and not on my appearance. In impressing people, but yet I'm sort of concerned that my appearance doesn't make it. Well, that's reflective, because she's pitting two different feelings against each other, right? And I don't remember which. Deb, you might pull up the which is. There you go.
I also have a limitation of insight.
like the opaqueness of minds? I agree. I think it's both. So this is the awareness of the nature of mental states, recognition of the limitations on the insight. I had a lot of respect for my mother, although sometimes she infuriated me because she was a very anxious person and she would get very uptight about things and sometimes get a little bit hysterical. I think she was very insecure in her relationship with my father, but I don't know if that was true. Right, so that's limitations. I don't know. And what does this person say? I'm supposed to prove myself like in a conversation or a relationship. Well, sort of a contradiction to me because there it's like, I think I feel. So this person is not sure. So I think, is that where you're coming from, Melissa?
Yeah, where it says, and I'm concerned that my appearance doesn't make it. Like that, he has not, or she has not before.
I'm not sure whether my physical appearance looks old enough for other people to accept me as older, as a 20-year-old rather than a 16-year-old. Yeah. Do people see that? And then, Deb, you want to make a comment about 4.2.5? Sorry to put you on the spot here.
The mental state isn't necessarily explicit, but there is that where he relies on his personality, so that was like the kind of manifestation that he kind of he's like pulled in two directions.
But you specifically identified evaluating mental states from the point of view of their impact on behavior of self and or other.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how is that relating to that?
On himself. Like
on himself.
On addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I was thinking of it too much, but that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think I have to rely on my own personality and not on my appearance in impressing people. So he's saying that other people are impacting me, which is causing me to want to change my appearance so that people are going to be more accepting of me. Do people understand that? The impact of other people's behavior on the self. Are we getting the hang of it? Is it starting? It's going to take some time. You know, Deb and I talked about what our goals are for completing this whole project, and we built into it a number of weeks of training, so we're getting there. This isn't easy. I appreciate that. Well, you know, the problem with you, Deb, is that you learned RF in a particular context.
Yeah.
And it's like I've taken that context and I've snatched it away.
Yeah.
It's like pulling a rug out from under you. You know, and I think you're a little unstable because this isn't making sense to you the way you learned it in a particular context. So you're learning RF in a decontextualized environment, essentially. So I give you mad props for hanging in there. But what it does mean is that you're not as much of a gold standard because this is you're learning this too, how to apply this. You know, if anything, Melissa would be more of a gold standard because she has worked with RF in a context that's independent of the AAI. And I think a context that's actually maybe more in keeping with what we're doing here. I mean, maybe you could speak to that.
Yeah, I think it's definitely similar. It's just the therapist part was thrown off. That's why I said I wasn't sure about that part. But yeah, because you're not necessarily asking them to reflect on anything, so you're trying to search out for anything that might be like reminiscent of reflective functioning in whatever they're talking about. And I think a problem that came up when we were doing it which I also admire with this, is that you don't want to read too much into it, and you don't want to try to figure out what they're implying, but they have to obviously say it themselves, but sometimes it's a little like, you know, fuzzy on that border.
Absolutely. No, Melissa's point's very well taken. When she did the coding 2 years ago, you weren't even a first year yet.
Well, I was not anything.
You were zero.
Were you in a master's?
No, I didn't finish my master's 2 years before.
She was
just helping out a friend.
Yeah, that's how I got to know Melissa, and I wrote you a letter of recommendation, right? Into the program.
Mm-hmm.
So Melissa and I go way back. But you were on a team before she even joined the program, so she knows something about RF, and I think your point's very well taken, that RF is different here because we're not asking the patient to provide RF. You know, how do you think that your personality has changed over the years, or how do you think your parents' behavior toward you has affected your adult personality? I mean, you're begging the person, please reflect. In a therapy session, it's non-directive. It's say whatever comes into your mind, and they're just shooting the breeze with the therapist, you know. There's no demand for RF. And that's similar to the Sid Blatt object representation inventory. We say describe your mother, describe your father, and describe yourself. There's no invitation to RF. It's just describe. In fact, some people wrote, well, 5'9", 150 pounds, brown hair, blue eyes. And that's...
Monster.
And then, yeah, monster. And that's all they had. So, and then we have to figure out, was that codable? Is it not codable? If it's codable, what would we assign to it? And generally, the skimpiest of answers got a 1. But if they were codable. But... So that's why I'm saying this is probably more similar in context to what Melissa did with the ORI than what you did with the AAI, where you're actually these subjects in the study are being invited to reflect. And then what do? Once they're being invited? These people aren't really being invited, although you could say therapy in general is an invitation to reflect, but not just in the general vague sense it is. So that's why I think it's like you're trying to find your sea legs again. It's a very different context. So, where are we? We got 15 minutes. Is this helping? Are people getting it? Certainly, if you thought that you weren't supposed to rate the therapist, you know, it's going to throw you totally off. So I think next week what I might do is put yours first, your ratings, and then see how other people do in relation to that. So 30, did I do 36? So we're on 37? Okay. 3 people didn't code on the first page. So the only person who coded was Michelle. Should we go over and see if there's anything? There might be something in there. I don't know.
Well, the only one that didn't write down where it's referenced on the back.
All right. Let me just read it. We'll see if we can come up with anything. I'm only using this as an example because that was the first thing you brought up when I asked you why you were troubled, felt younger or acting younger or something like that. The fact is that it seems to me that you reinforce this opinion of yourself that you're 16 or 17 by some of the things you do with your appearance.
I would have quoted that right there if I was doing that.
I actually do think it's codable.
That's the therapist, so.
Yeah, I know.
That I would have done the opaqueness because it seems.
Right.
I didn't code it either because. Yeah.
Because you thought the therapist, we don't code that. Okay, well that.
Yeah, I guess in my mind I would.
I don't think we have that luxury. Everything's weighted the same. So therapist comments weighted the same as patient comments. And I do agree, Larry Josephs, I emailed him about this issue. He's one of only 2 people who's published RF coding of therapy sessions. And what he said is that therapists speak, if you're doing lots of sessions, and we're going to be doing 127 of them, what therapists say is minuscule compared to what patients say. Now, that might not be true in CBT sessions, but it's true in psychodynamic, yeah.
Not that I'm going to argue him, but what they say might be a lot less detailed, but it might, I would assume, it would be much more reflective and
sure.
insightful. But
no, I agree, and that's why when all said and done and we have all the ratings of all the sessions, the 127, we're going to have each rating, each session is going to have two ratings. One's going to be the highest rating of that session, and one's going to be the mean. We're going to run, I didn't know if I told you this, but we're going to run all the results twice. One using the highest rating of each session, and one using the mean rating. Because the highest rating might be the therapist every time. And what's that have to do with the patient? But if we use the mean rating, that might actually be more accurate because you're factoring the therapist RF in with all the patient RF, and we're hoping that the patient RF is going to overwhelm any of the therapist RF that we coded.
And when you think about it, like each transcript has, like, let's say 50 or 50 more lines, or maybe it was, but there's, like, this was the first time that there was actually had more than two lines. So it might affect the three or four heavily of the 50.
Yeah, I mean, there are 56 word blocks. One of them, therapist actually spoke more than two lines. Okay, so one out of the 56 word blocks is probably inaccurate. The other 55 are going to more than make up for it. I think that's the thinking. Now, Furtuck and Mergenthaler, they actually, the CRF, they used the mean, right? They didn't use the highest score. Yeah. Okay. All right, and I know that Larry took the highest score within a word block, but then he took the mean of the word blocks. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Might want to check that too, but I'm pretty sure of that. So, okay. I know it seems pretty daunting what we're doing, but if we just take it in little chunks, little word blocks, the work, you know, it'll eventually get done. And, we actually figured that it would get done sometime in the middle of the next semester. So hopefully I can Skype in to our meetings. If not, Deb's going to be leading them by then, and you'll be able to do everything that I do, hopefully, and then some.
Yeah.
All right, so we got 10 minutes. Let's move on to word block 40. I see there... Huh?
I can say
38
I did
not.
38
you did not?
Yeah, I did.
Is it again a therapist issue?
I was just reading through it
real quick.
I don't know, there was something that the patient said that I wasn't sure about. So maybe
what is it? You
wanna
read it?
Towards the end, and it says, I guess I sort of worked myself into one of those circular things, contradictions. On the one hand, my appearance, you know, makes me look younger, makes me feel younger, or act younger, or whatever. That's probably the part right there that could be quoted, I guess.
But then, on the other hand, I feel like I'd be lying, you know, if I tried to look older. I think that's codable.
Okay. Oh, I guess I wasn't sure. I didn't see, like, the thought behind the behavior as much.
I think what she's saying is that her appearance makes her appear a certain way to other people. But then if she tried to change her appearance, she would be lying to others. She'd be deceiving others. which means that she has an understanding that other people's mental states are opaque to her, which is 4 point, where is it? 4.1.1, exactly. The opaqueness of mental states. See, even the idea that a person can lie, why can people lie? They lie because, now, yes, it's not, she doesn't spell it out. It would be a low RF because she doesn't really spell it out. Like, I don't know what people are, people don't know what I'm thinking. People don't know that I'm faking them out. But there's a sense there, I think a rudimentary sense that that my mental states are opaque. People don't know that I'm faking them out.
Right. Yeah, I get it.
They can't read my mind.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Michelle, you were going to say.
I thought it was maybe how people don't know others see you. Is it that also?
Say more. That's...
Four point two point six.
Okay. Taking into account how others perceive me, speakers show explicit awareness of how others' perception of them is related to their own or others' actions and reactions. So, what's the specific phrase? So it would be, so others would be, he's taking into account, others are going to perceive me as older, even though I'm not, if I make my appearance a certain way. Yeah, I think you're right. So we're not, I don't want to focus so much on the ratings right now. I just want to focus on what's codable and what's not. And based on your argument and my argument about the opaqueness of mental states, I think that's totally codable.
Out of all the ones that were coded that should have been coded, they all had feel in it. So it's for me, and all the ones that I didn't code, all of those had feel in it. So maybe that will help us catch ourselves and we don't get these codable.
Yeah.
So
if a friend or a therapist says, I feel he's a good person, is that codable? Because they use the word.
Okay, now. So that's a very good point. I would not code that as a mental state. Or I feel I'm intelligent. It doesn't... I'm not using any mental state term. I feel, but... See, a person in that sense is using the word feel as if think or believe. It's...
But it could be just a cue for us.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that. Anytime you see feel, you should perk up your mental state apparatus and really focus in on that. And really see whether their mental state might be lurking in there and whether RF can be coded. But the obverse is also true that... just because a person doesn't use the word feel doesn't mean they can't be coded for reflective functioning. Right? I want to go to the bank right now, pull out some money, because I want other people to see that I'm rich. I didn't use the word feel, but it's very reflective. Okay. What else? Maybe we should look at some more egregious, like where people, a lot of people didn't code something.
42.
Yes, 42 is a good one. Aaron coded it, and there was someone else who coded it. I think it was Deb C. Yeah. So let's look at 42 as our last. What's that?
We were super close on it.
Nice. Maybe I'll pair you two up in the future. So that's 42? Okay, so All right, a little kid, for some reason it must be safer. Yeah, well, you know, like I said before, like if I do, come on, you know, like that, if I do come on like an adult who is interested in a woman, you know, then, you know, I guess somebody's going to cut my prick off or something. Okay, so it's a man. So. I think. But again, you seem to be equating acting in an adult way, say with women, you're equating that immediately with intercourse and how big your penis is and what. Yeah, I'm wondering if that's all that's involved in relationships with women. Yet that seems to be more consistent with the attitude of kids have when they're 14, 15, and 16. That, you know. What do you guys think? If I do come on, so if I behave a certain way, then somebody's going to behave toward me in a certain way. Now that shows reciprocity of behavior. If I behave like this, that person's going to behave like that. That's, where's the mental state in that? That's the only missing part. Having an interest, I don't know, that for me that doesn't quite rise to the level of a mental state. Deb, what do you think?
Okay, so I was thinking, based upon the therapist, I thought that the therapist was trying to kind of elicit the RF by asking, so for some reason it must be safer to kind of get their mm-hmm. thought, and then his answer was, like, if I do this, then he's going to, you know, do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought it was like a low RF because I thought that, you know, he kind of gave him that suggestion, mm-hmm. but that he didn't take it and he went in the other direction. So, no.
Well, the fact that, mm-hmm. so you're saying that there was a demand mm-hmm. on the patient to reflect, and what he yeah. came up with wasn't very reflective. I mean, that's an argument against really coding it at all for RF. Because he was given, it was like, here, please, I'm throwing you a softball here. Hit it out of the park, and the guy doesn't do anything with it. He swings, and he misses, or it's a foul tip, you know. He felt tipped the ball.
I guess it was like, if I do this, then this. That's why I thought there was...
Okay, yes. That, you want to see that reciprocity. However, mm-hmm. part of RF is connecting behavior to mental states. And yes, one behavior can affect another. That's, we call that behaviorism. There's no RF in behaviorism.
Is that something I was saying before, though, with the, like, rejection of...
Or RF, or because he gave him the opportunity, and he said no.
He's like, I'm not going to talk about that. But
it's a good question, Deb. What do you
think?
He's just furiously
just
writing.
No, just that, how Deb pointed out that the therapist gave a great opportunity to be reflective, and the patient was not reflective at all. So are we going with just, it's still not quotable, or is that a rejection of RF? That's
right. It would be a negative one.
Yeah.
Negative one, I mean, just, you're not really not supposed to code a word block based on your knowledge of the other word blocks. You should take each word block in and of itself, but just having read this, and we're just practicing, so we're allowed to at least think about this. This guy is not anywhere near the negative one area. It just doesn't fit this guy. He's not a negative one. Negative one is for a subject who systematically resists taking a reflective stance throughout the interview. Now, the interview is AAI.
What about the disavowal, though, where there's little or no hostility, but...
Okay, so disavow is something different.
That's
it's not rejection of RF.
Right,
okay, disavow. barren accounts lacking in mentalizing detail, at least three examples of assertion of ignorance concerning mental states or comparable examples of evasion, physicalistic, behavioral, or sociological accounts, and global and generalized statements concerning psychological states in response to demand questions. No instance of reflective function rated above 3. In response to demand, so you're concerned that demand, and he gives you behaviorism in response to a demand for reflection. I can't argue with that.
But I think to be consistent.
Okay, let's hear the. But on the other hand.
I think you're right that probably would be a demand question, but there would be, I'm sure, some discrepancies in the words about what are demand questions and if I'm pissing them on. Maybe not, maybe it would be more clear, but it's hard to definitely know.
So your question, Deb, which is mine as well, is if we allow this idea of demand question to guide our thinking,
yeah,
might that disrupt our ability to get reliable?
Yeah.
Is it too difficult for us to identify together as a group what a demand question is from a therapist?
Some might be completely obvious,
but I don't know if it should be our judgment.
Yeah,
I understand what you're saying. The only thing I'm wondering is there's only a handful that we're not quoting anyway. And so that might just bring a couple more of those in. I don't think it would change the ones that we already were quoting.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I don't think it would change the ratings on those. I think it would change.
It would give us ratings on word blocks that were previously heretofore uncodable. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The problem is, though, the other side, which is what she's arguing, is let's say we let those in, okay? So then you rate them, but you rate them, but maybe another person says, well, I don't think the therapist was really inviting the person to reflect.
Like, we're supposed to be rating the highest part, right? So let's say the therapist says something very negative, and it's like a 5, and then there's 2 more lines left, and the patient...
What is the? Can you, Melissa, read the question that the therapist does ask and see how we feel about it? Was this 42?
I didn't quote it, that's why I was just wondering why.
Yeah. I think the therapist, doesn't the therapist say for some reason it must be safer?
That's what I thought.
You saw it as a demand? So it's not even a question, though.
It wasn't, but...
The therapist says, I was wondering if that's all. That's I was wondering, what's the exclamation mark? Is that just because it's that all?
Know.
Like, they emphasized it or something? I was confused.
I don't know.
No, it might be some special coding that they're doing for some reason.
I'm wondering if that's all that's involved in relationships with women, yet that seems to me more consistent with the attitude of kids when they're 14, 15, 16, you know. I guess, that's at the end. So I don't even know if there's... Oh, no, at the beginning. For some reason, it must be safer.
That's
exactly.
That's what I said. Yeah, so he's not even asking a question, he or she. It's a comment.
Yeah.
So is a demand if the therapist is just making a comment? Wouldn't it have to be a question? Don't you think that must make you feel safer? What do you think?
I don't know, because it's so hard to get a full sentence into one of these blocks like that. So I don't know.
What do you think, Deb?
I don't know.
What did you rate it, by the way?
I gave it like a 1.5.
And Melissa would have rated it a 1.
I thought it was... Yeah, like, I thought we had
a 1.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was low.
based on the question. Well, I know he wasn't asking, but it was an implicit sort of question.
Well, that's, yeah, that's what we're trying to figure out, whether there's a demand for RF there. And if so, Melissa's point is well taken. It would be disavowal lacking in RF, which is on page 44 of the manual. We can try that. Everybody has to be aware of a therapist making a demand for some RF. So for some reason it must be safer. Safer would be a mental state. I feel safe. And then see what the patient does. If the patient doesn't do much with it, then you're thinking it's lacking in RF, disavowal, it's automatic one. Might actually help us become more reliable, I don't know. All right? And it would, as Melissa said, bring in more word blocks that we would otherwise discount. So what I'm going to do is, unless you feel we could get more mileage out of this, let me send out the second practice transcript, okay? And maybe I should, you have all of them, right? So you should send it out. And because the last time I sent it out, we got messed up. So send out the next, whatever one you choose, okay? Make sure it's pre-cut up
okay.
into the word blocks
okay.
and numbered. Can you, I don't know, print it out and write it down and then scan it and then send it out, or?
I'll just do it.
Okay, so everybody then will come in and code all the word blocks for next week and send me the ratings by 10 p.m. the night before. Sound good? Everybody psyched about? Don't look so, I mean, curb your enthusiasm, you know. It's exhausting, right? It's mid-semester.
Third year's not so bad.
See, that's what you have to look forward to. In your third year, it's smooth sailing.
It's also been the month of holidays and classes, so it's been enjoyable. I know. I was just real happy.
All right. Thanks, well, everybody.
I'll get that to you guys by like.
Or you give the work to Tina. She's dying for work study hours. She's languishing. That's all you got? Gratitude?
It's fine.
No, she's getting paid for it. So why don't you teach her? Do you have time right now? Do you have time right now? Okay, so this is part of your hours, the training. So why don't you teach her what to do? And maybe she can do it like just do the, like, you know how to, you know Word. You know how to copy and then do the word count. It's basically, that's all you're doing. So, and then if you could get it out to everybody by tomorrow, that would give people more time to, yeah, right.
Dad, thank you for a very extensive notes. It is very helpful.
That's how I do it today.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Like one folder had.
I don't know how often you want to submit. invoices, but I need you a copy of an example.
Okay, yeah, whatever. I mean, every 20 hours, or I don't know how you want to do it.
Okay.
During our meeting.